This is a savings plan where individuals as well as business firms can earn a good return on deposits. Yes, up to 2.5% interest is paid on Industrial State Bank savings certificates. Now, these certificates are available in multiples of $100, are negotiable at any time, and are guaranteed up to $5,000 by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Tomorrow, ask any teller about the Industrial State Bank savings certificates at the Industrial State Bank, Michigan Avenue at Porte Street, or at Washington Square. The Industrial State Bank is open this evening from 6:30 to 8 for your convenience. Now, here's the editor of Know Your City, Dr. Dunbar.
Good evening. Years ago, there was an economic maxim called caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. It meant that it was up to the person who bought anything to guard against defective merchandise, short weight, or any other kind of misrepresentation. But that precept has long ago been abandoned. Our government today assumes considerable responsibility for seeing to it that the articles offered for sale are properly labeled as to quality and weight, and that the purchaser gets what the seller represents the goods to be. The city of Kalamazoo has passed ordinances designed to regulate the use of weights, scales, and measures, and employs a city sealer to maintain a regular inspection of them. The Division of Weights, Scales, and Measures functions under the Department of Buildings, Bureau of Testing, and is held and is headed by Mr. E. Frank Whittington. I've invited Mr. Whittington to join me before the microphone tonight so that our listeners may gain some idea of what is being done to protect the citizens of Kalamazoo against short weight and short measure in what they buy within the city. Well, Mr. Whittington, suppose you begin by stating in a general way what the scope of your activities is.
Well, Dr. Dunbar, the scope of a weights and measures department can be almost unlimited. However, the essential phases are in buying and selling. In the Old Testament, the 25th chapter of Deuteronomy, the word is written, "Thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thy house divers measures, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. A perfect and just measure shalt thou have." Now in modern language, you must not have one scale weighing light for use in buying and another weighing heavy for use in selling. The first duty of a weights and measures inspector, therefore, is to see that all equipment used in buying and selling is in proper condition for use, and secondly, that it is used properly. The theory back of weights and measures being that the buyer shall receive what the seller represents to be delivering, no more, no less, no better, or no poorer.
Well, how many places of business in Kalamazoo use scales, and how many scales are there here?
Well, at present count, there are 410 places of business using scales for buying or selling. And there are 963 scales with capacities ranging from 1 ounce to 30 tons.
Will you describe the equipment which you have to test these scales, Mr. Whittington?
Well, we have this equipment here for testing scales with accurate weights ranging from 1/32 ounce to 50 pounds. The weights up to 25 pounds are made of brass and triple plated with copper, nickel, and chromium, which gives a very hard surface and protects the weight from wear or corrosion.
When I looked at these weights of yours, I noticed that one has a nick in it. Now, doesn't that throw it off?
Yes, Dr. Dunbar, a nick like that could be very serious, but it can be corrected. These weights must, by law, be certified by the State Sealer of Weights in Lansing at regular intervals. And in case of an accident, such as this apparently was, it would be checked before use again. You can see that this handle can be unscrewed and loose material added to the hollow center here to bring the weight to its proper mass.
Yes. Well, now, how about that one that weighs 1/32 of an ounce? When do you use that?
Well, that one and the other three smallest weights are mostly used to test the sensitivity of a scale. National and state laws specify that scales of certain types and capacities must be sensitive to certain weights. This is the amount of weight necessary to cause a certain amount of movement of the indicator on the scale.
Well, now how about the scales that weigh those big trucks? Just how are those tested?
We do not have the proper equipment, heavy enough equipment in Kalamazoo to test scales with more than 5 tons of capacity. For these scales, For these scales, we call upon the state inspectors who have a heavy-duty truck containing 10,000 pounds of weights. And by proper manipulation, these weights can be used to check accurately scales up to 30 tons capacity. You might be surprised at the sensitivity of these truck scales. There are a few in town on which you could weigh a 5-pound load, and all of them must be accurate to 10 pounds or less.
Well, that certainly is an amazing degree of accuracy. Now, Mr. Whittington, how often do you get around to the food stores to test their scales?
Well, from 2 to 3 times a year, Dr. Dunbar.
And does the scale have to be precisely correct?
Well, a new scale that's just been installed must be absolutely correct at all loads. A scale which has been in use for some time has a certain amount of tolerance or error allowed.
How much tolerance?
The amount of tolerance allowed varies with the type of scale, its total capacity, and the actual load being weighed. As an example, take the grocery or meat scale, one which has been in use for a year or more. At a 5-pound load, the error allowed would be 3/16 of an ounce, while at a 20-pound load, the error allowed would be 1/2 ounce. This error can be over or under. On truck scales, the error can be 1 pound for each 1,000 pounds of load on the platform.
Well, now, Mr. Whittington, what happens if you find a scale which is off?
Should a scale test show an error greater than the tolerance allowed, the scale is condemned and cannot be used until adjusted and retested.
Do you test scales on which people weigh themselves?
A person weighing scales requiring a coin for their operation are subject to test under the law, and others will be tested upon request of the owner.
Well, now, Mr. Whittington, is there anything you can do about it if the butcher puts his thumb on the scales?
Now, Dr. Dunbar, you have brought up a very important point. I can check equipment and see that it is in A1 condition, but I can't be present to witness every sale made. The responsibility still rests to some extent upon the buyer, whether he be a wholesaler, a retailer, or an ultimate consumer, to first see that my green sticker of approval is on the scale or other equipment, and then watch to see that he gets the weight or measure represented.
Well, now, Mr. Whittington, when I go into a butcher shop or a grocery store, does the merchant have to tell me just how much my meat weighs when he tells me how much it costs?
No, he does not. However, the scale must be in such a position that the customer has a clear view of the weight indicator.
In what manner do you go about it to see that we get proper weight when we buy coal or coke?
Well, it has been my practice to stop coal trucks on the street at various times and request the driver to proceed to some scale other than his company's, where I make a check weighing of the loaded truck and then another weighing of the empty truck after he has delivered the coal. These weights are compared with those shown on the delivery ticket. Should a shortage be shown, it must be adjusted, or if the error is serious enough, the dealer could be taken into court on a short weight charge. No warning is given the dealer as to when his truck will be stopped, except that they all know any one of them may be stopped any day.
Well, now, turning to another kind of weights and measures, how many gas stations do we have in the city, and how many pumps do you have to test?
Well, Dr. Dunbar, you have a very wide choice of filling stations in the city, there being 118 of them, and they have a total of 262 pumps for gasoline, kerosene, and fuel oil.
How do you test them?
This can with a long straight neck is used for that purpose. This glass tube on the side gives a view of the level of gasoline in the can. Where you see this zero marking, the can holds exactly 5 gallons. Mm-hmm. These marks above and below the zero represent cubic inches. So when I have run 5 gallons from the pump, as shown by the metering device, I can tell at a glance whether the pump is delivering more or less than 5 gallons and exactly how much.
Is any tolerance permitted?
Yes, being a mechanical device, some error must be allowed. On the 5 gallons, the pump can be over or under as much as 7 cubic inches, or approximately 4 fluid ounces. If more than this, it is condemned and tagged until adjusted and retested.
Well, now, how about milk? How can we be sure to get a full quart of milk when we buy it?
Well, first, Dr. Dunbar, you should see that the bottle is full to its cap. Specifications on milk bottles provide that they hold a quart, pint, or half pint when filled to the cap seat. Every shipment of bottles into the city is subject to test and approval before they can be used. Samples are taken from the lot and tested with these standard measures. Here again, a very slight tolerance is allowed because of mechanical operations in the manufacture of bottles.
Well, now, getting back for a moment to food stores, suppose you buy a sack of potatoes. Does the weight have to be on the package or sack?
Any food product packaged ahead of time and the package closed by a sealing or with a wire such as on potatoes must be marked with the name of the packer and the true net weight.
Well, now, does that mean the weight when packed?
No, it does not. As I mentioned earlier this evening, merchandise must weigh or measure what it is represented to weigh or measure at the time of sale is made. If a packer is putting up merchandise which may shrink in weight by moisture loss, then he will have to make allowance for that expected loss.
Well, now, how about the weight of bread? How is that tested?
A bread comes under the same general rule, except that an allowance of 1 ounce is made. A 20-ounce loaf can weigh as little as 19 ounces or as much as 21 ounces. Tests are made regularly to see that the bakers are holding their weight properly.
Well, now, here's a question, Mr. Whittington. How do you know, right down to the last fraction, exactly how much a gallon is, or how much a pound is, or how much a yard is? Can you tell us something about that?
Well, right there, you're posing a question, Dr. Dunbar, upon which we could have spent the entire time. But the time is getting rather late, so I'll try to state the essential facts. In Paris, France, is located the International Bureau of Weights and Measures, supported by about 30 nations. At this bureau, under ideal conditions, is kept a 1 kilogram weight and a 1 meter bar made of an alloy of 90% platinum and 10% iridium. At the Bureau of Standards in Washington, D.C., is kept prototypes or copies of the master standards, made of the same alloy and made at the same time, and which were delivered to President Harrison on January 2nd in 1890. At the Weights and Measures Laboratory of the Michigan Agriculture Department in Lansing, duplicate standards are kept, which are compared with those in Washington. In turn, ours in Kalamazoo are compared with those in Lansing. Just to illustrate the accuracy which is maintained in our national standards, I might mention a very technical point in which you will be interested. The Washington standards were taken to Paris late last year for comparison with the master standards in Paris. And it was found that our kilogram weight had changed only 2 parts in 1,000 million since the last comparison, which was made in 1933.
Well, that's certainly very interesting, Mr. Whittington. And we appreciate your coming up here and telling us all about your very interesting job. And I'm sure that all of our listeners will agree that the work that you're doing is very important to the people of Kalamazoo. Next week, we're going to bring you on Know Your City, the description of a stroll around downtown Kalamazoo on a typical weekday morning, and also an interview with Mr. Newton Lincoln and Mr. Merwin Black of the Kalamazoo Office of the Social Security Administration.
The Bank with the Clock, the Industrial State Bank, Michigan Avenue at 40th Street and at Washington Square, has been pleased to bring you another in the series of programs, Know Your City. They hope you've enjoyed this program concerning the city sealer, and suggest that in a pay-as-you-go city, you use a pay-as-you-go checking account. It's the handy check service that's available to you at the Industrial State Bank in which you pay only as you use it. You're invited to stop in and open a handy check account at the Bank for Savings, the Industrial State Bank, Michigan Avenue at 40th Street, or at Washington Square.